JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and right now we're joined by the star of the Zav, Michelle, and Baz for Breakfast Show over in Triple M Perth, Xavier Alice.
Our next guest played 120 AFL games for Hawthorne and West Coast, winning a flag in 2008.
Number 8, Xavier Alice.
And if you're in Perth or on the Listener app, you can hear him with Zave, Michelle and Baz for Breakfast.
Yeah. You're not going to hit your goals, rethink things.
I always thought, though, too, you had set goals. You're not meant to achieve every goal.
No, exactly.
You're meant to fail along the way. That's what makes you stronger, Baz. Yeah.
Look at us, X-Men.
Look at us, failures the whole way through.
Please welcome Xavier Ellis.
Oh, carved a nice little niche out for himself over there in the West as our man X.
And I'm hearing
he
that
played team. All those games, of course, for Hawthorne and then went over to the West Coast, but also now has played for West Coast Cowan.
Oh, no.
Who the hell are they, X?
JB, Bill Rabs, good afternoon. They're C5 over here, C5 division. I don't think you can get... Well, there was fourths on after, but I'm not certain it was fully serious, that one. But yeah, C5s. I lost a bet last derby to a Fremantle supporter. It cost me a Fremantle membership to him, and then I had to play a game of footy, which I thought he'd forget about, but turns out he didn't, and C5s for City Beach.
And I'm hearing you played in the forward pocket, and the little fat back pocket that you lined up on kicked the first goal of the game. He ran down all the way, kicked a goal. You were nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I banked on the turnover, Bill. C5s, you don't expect four or five passes in a row to go to hand. But, the little chode who sat next to me, nice guy too, actually. They were tipping me winners at Carnarvon the next day and everything. But, we lost on the siren and my bloke kicked the first of the game. So not only did I not get a kick, he probably kicked the one that mattered the most.
Oh, how'd you cover the ground, X? Because I'm looking at photos of the game and, you're not quite at playing weight.
Nah, Jim, you probably don't understand. Bill, I reckon you might be in this. Yes. Some days you look in the mirror and think, shit, I'm looking okay.
You're going all right here.
Well, yeah. I thought that. I thought that when I went out. And then I've seen visions. There was a video, some people, so a bloke put together a video package, which wasn't over flattering, but no, I look shocking. I really look absolutely appalling. My wife put up a photo, which even then I started to think, geez, I'm shocked she's with me. So, I had a thought about it. Need to drop a couple of kilos, but that'll all happen in due course.
I tell you what else is the problem. You're white. You look like a pom. Mate, everyone's brown over there. Everyone's got plenty of sun, and you are white. Terribly.
I am white. Yeah. Mate, I'm looking at you, Bill. You look like a penis. You've got a bald noggin. That's all I can see is just the top of your head.
I'm a thumb.
That's all I can see.
Good photo with Emily, too. She's having a frothy, laughing while you limp off with a hammy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've played one game for West Coast County. They got to please explain by the waffle because it wasn't a CUB product. So that sort of suggests that the wife's pretty similar to me. I think she smuggled that into the handbag. So, we've got to sort through that in due course too.
No, she's got the Gage Rhodes in hands, the boutique brewer over there. Now, she is a part of the O'Connell family, X, and that is West Australian football royalty.
Yeah, the Claremont Ground, which the team which you're familiar with, Jim. It was the O'Connell Grandstand for ages. Yep. It's now the O'Connell change rooms and all the whiz bang there. And of course, a couple of the sons played for West Coast, then one of Fitzroy, and then obviously John O'Connell. Not many remember in the 40s played 90 games or 88 games or something for the Mighty Cats, Bill. So.
Yes.
Big part in Polly Farmer heading to Geelong. So he left and Polly turned up. Ooh. So that's their journey. Bloody good footy family.
Oh, bloody oath, Aaron. Does she like her footy or was she laughing at you?
It's funny. Quite a few people turned up and I actually felt like I was being bullied. Every time they went near it, they laughed at me. And, dear old Pam O'Connell, the grandmother, she rips in. It's a disgrace. But if they're not picking on you, they don't love you. That's what I say.
Oh, well, I played, I remember, and they kept calling me the bloody Michelin man. It was driving me mad. They thought it was
Michelin
funny.
Man.
Speaking of royalty, Josh Kennedy, what a star. Yeah. 8 goals in his last game. Much loved over there. What would he do now that he's finished footy?
So he's spoken about moving Northampton. So Northampton, Bill's just a tiny, tiny town north in Western Australia. Paddy Cripps' territory, Jamie Cripps. Josh Kennedy, there's quite a few others that are, Paul Hazelby's come from this tiny town.
Harry.
So I think he's going to move, Harry Taylor, he's going to move back towards Geraldton and give the kids, he's got two daughters, a country upbringing. But I've sort of suggested that the coin he's been earning, he maybe could have a weekend house in Geraldton and then maybe something a little bit closer to home.
No, but is he a footy nut? Would he get into coaching or does he love his footy? Does he watch any other games of footy?
There's every chance he will never watch a game of football again, Bill. I was saying someone earlier that AFLPA questionnaire or something, who is the performer in the media who lacks the most knowledge or something? That was the question. And Joshy put me down and sent me a photo. I think it was funny. I said, mate, put someone else down. That'll come back on me. And he went through the list.
Didn't know
and hadn't heard of any others. So I went in there. And you reckon, Jim, I hear you talk about reptile mates.
Yep.
I've never, ever, ever come across a group of bigger reptiles than Josh Kennedy's, mate. I had one night. And if I die early, it's because this bloke called Falcon swooped on me. All I remember leaving was when they asked where you've been, you just tell them the Falcon swooped. And that's all I remember happening at his wedding. Ooh, yeah, not reptiles.
We need to get to a break with you, X. We've got the big derby coming up in Perth this weekend.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And she says, Patty, what's happened? Patty said, oh, you won't believe it. You won't believe it.
So not only a woeful accent, but you've stopped halfway through.
We're joined by Xavier Ellis all the way from Triple M Perth.
Oh, we've got the derby coming up, Freo West Coast. This one maybe not quite the sting attached to it that others have been, just because West Coast aren't going as well as they could be, X. But over the journey, these have provided us with some of the great highlights of seasons past.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate how flat it is at the moment, because you're right, Jim, in the past, especially, you know, the first times with Gardner and Pavlich punching on, and the Carr brothers and the Eagle Stars punching on. But, I mean, no Josh Kennedy, no Tim Kelly. They're going to find it a little bit hard this week. But Fremantle are playing for something. So I think if West Coast get within 10 goals, I think they'll probably walk off and think, well, that wasn't as bad as it could have been. Because they're heavily undermanned and had an absolute shocking season. And Fremantle are playing for, they'll say, top two.
Whose game is it? Whose home game? Because the crowds have dropped off a little. If it's Freo, they'll get a bit, they'll get 50 plus. Is the weather looking good?
No, it's going to have 20 mils of rain. So that's all it does over here.
And they don't like the rain.
No, they're not big in the rain. No. But, Jim, when I moved over, they don't tell you that you can't go to the beach after 10 o'clock in summer because it blows its ring out. Yeah. And in winter, it just piles down. It just absolutely piles down.
Jeez, well, it didn't used to rain like that. I don't know what's going on with the weather over there. It used to be beautiful in the winter.
Yeah, winter. I'm trying to get into the Gulf. We can't get out there. It's just a little nine holey here and there, and you have a few stubbies after, and tell the wife you've been to the gym. But the weather doesn't let you do that at the moment.
Luke Jackson, he's on his way, isn't he?
Look, 99% he's on his way. Why else would Melbourne be meeting with Grundy? I think it's done and dusted. I just don't think they need him, to be honest. They've got, you know, Sean Darcy won their best and fairest last year, so. Sean Darcy can't play forward, he's not a forward, and Luke Jackson doesn't take many marks inside the forward half and doesn't kick many goals either. So $1 million and Sean Darcy would be on a reasonable contract as well. There's a lot of money tied into two ruckmen who are going to play 50-50, I'd imagine.
And David Mundy finishes up at the end of the year. What a superstar he has been.
Oh, and I think he described himself as a battler. I mean, if there's no greater Rolls Royce than Dave Mundy, and his football got better and better and better. He's 4 years older than me, believe it or not, and still going around. And imagine, like, I stand there in the mirror and think, Christ almighty, I can't walk. It's not good. And Dave Mundy's still, you know, fit as a fiddle, looks good, moves well, had 36 touches the week he retired. So he's still finding the footy. But maybe that might be the lift for, nephew of yours, Jim, Andy, and those guys to try and lift a little bit. I know you can't find anything more than 100%, but the sentimental and whatnot of a champion leaving might just give him that little extra push over the line.
Does Andy win the Brownlow?
Oh, it'd be very good for my kid's education if he did, Bill.
you've had a crack early.
I found a little bit early at the start of the year. Yes. So, I think same theory as Ollie Wines last year. They won plenty of games. There's not really pole stealers for Fremantle. I can't really think of any with Fife not playing. So I imagine that the three votes and two votes, a lot of those games are probably going to fall Andy's way.
So wrong, maybe.
Mind you, Lockie Neal has had a very, very good second half of the year, X.
You're right. And Andy has slowed a fraction and they've lost a couple more games. So, and of course, Clary Oliver's, I think we forget how good he was for large portions there before his thumb broke. So, and you're going to the Brownlow, Jim, and I imagine that's why, just to support the nephew.
Yeah. I'm going on the demand of my better half. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking one for the team is what I'm doing.
Yeah, what are the odds, Bill? He's interviewed on Brownlow night when if Andy gets it's up.
Well, he hates it, right? He hates going along. It's the worst night ever. But all of a sudden, he's found not just one, two seats there. And you watch. If Andy wins, oh, Uncle James, yes, Uncle James, you're the one. And at the breakfast show, how's it going over there? Now called Zav, Michelle and Baz.
Ah, look, Bill, the order used to be Basil and Zav, and now I come in first drop, so you can imagine who's taking the big pay pack at home. It's probably me.
I don't think you are.
No, you're right there. I think one takes about 80% and the rest fight it out. But no, mate, we're scraping away. We're not the number one seed at the moment. There's been a few little changes here and there, but it's all good fun.
Now, you know, ex-Willis has normally got a pretty confident sort of approach to things.
Somehow, absolutely.
Pretty up and about, and he sort of he approaches conversations with people with ebullience.
Yeah.
Until he runs into Luke Hodge, which I experienced last week. We were leaving the ground.
Right.
And X was up and about and this and that. He's clicking
himself.
His fingers. Yeah. He's rolling around. And suddenly Hodgie jumps out of the car.
And
if he could, X has gone whiter.
Couldn't
I didn't realise he had your pills in his hand as much as he does.
Oh, no. I'm dead frightened of Hodgie. Christ almighty. If he said jump, I say how high. I don't know why.
What's wrong with you?
Well, there's a story. Campbell Brown tells a story where Hodgie actually threatened to bash him on the footy field and just told him to go sit on the bench. And Brownie ran off and they said, what are you doing, Brownie? I said, oh, Hodgie told me to come here. I can't go back on. Hodgie wants to fight me. Mate, he's just a scary man. In fairness to Hodgie, if there was ever a favour needed, he'd do it in a heartbeat. But, geez, it takes a bit of courage to ask for it. Love him dearly. And there's still a bit of tension between the Norm Smith. He knows it should be at my joint in Double View. But, he's a bit regretful about how that's all played out.
Yes, exactly. You were very good that day.
Half time.
Yeah, and then who has got his measurement, Jim? Hodgies.
No one. Toyota tour. Took him out the front, wrestle, and he was apparently, according to Spud, he was like a Labrador puppy on his back, Hodgie, and then Ruff tried to chip in and he ended up in the exact same position.
Not unusual Ruff to dive in second just to see what's happening. But my first ever intra club, I was still at school doing year 12. Hodgie and Shane Crawford had a throw up. So they were at it. And Hodgie is a fusser or whoever's the king of the pack. Christ.
Yes. I love it, X. Great chatting to you always, mate. Enjoy the derby weekend in Perth.
Good on you, Jim. See you, Bill, you fat prick. Bye.
And you can catch the Zav, Michelle and Baz for Breakfast podcast on the Listener app. And Idiot Song up next on the Rush Hour. Triple M.